Hello everyone and welcome back to Memcast. My name is Dr. Rachel Saville and I'll be your host today. I've got the pleasure of welcoming Dr. Richard Bowman with us, who is one of our acute medicine registrars here in the East Midlands. Hi, Rich.
Hello, happy to be here.
Thanks for talking to us today. So we're going to have a bit of a chat about some nice guidelines over the next few weeks. And to start today, we just wanted to talk a bit about how nice guidelines are written, why they're written and why they might be different from local practices in our various hospitals.
Yeah, so for those of you that haven't heard of NICE, if we've got any listeners from outside the UK, so NICE is a government-funded organisation in the UK, and their job is to take a look at all the different literature from all across the globe, and they have expert panels, usually senior doctors, but also other allied healthcare professional therapists, and they involve patients in their guideline writing as well. They translate all of that up-to-date knowledge into usually around a sort of 5-6 page document. And the purpose of that is not necessarily to tell individual doctors how to treat individual patients. It's really to take a bit more of a top-down view of a clinical topic. And the readers of these guidelines might be doctors. They might be senior doctors within an organisation who are looking to write a local guideline based on this expert knowledge and evidence. Or it might be hospital managers who are deciding, okay, well, you know, now this machine is better than this machine, so I need to go and buy some of these machines. But also it takes into account the other ethical sides of practicing within a healthcare system, so that maybe a group of pure clinicians might decide this is the gold standard on how to diagnose something. Well, actually, if you went down that route and spent all your money, then you wouldn't be able to diagnose anything else. So actually, there's a little bit of balance to make sure the healthcare system overall is thought about when we're actually deciding how to go about treating our patients. It's not just, okay, well, we don't have enough money to do this, so we're not going to fund it, because they're not actually in charge of, you know, what gets funded and what isn't. They're just telling you that if you do fund this, you're going to get less bang for your buck than if you decide to fund something else. So they're not necessarily making those decisions, but they're providing evidence for the people who are making those decisions. So like a really easy example would be, after somebody presents to the emergency department in the UK, it's now pretty common practice, as long as they meet certain clinical criteria, to get a CT scan of their head. Now, 20 years ago, we didn't do that because CT scanners were quite expensive and the staff around them needed to man them, and the time it would take to do that at 2 o'clock in the morning had all these cost implications. So it was just easier to admit the patient to hospital and have a nurse check their neurological signs every hour, and that was deemed safe. Whereas now, it turns out that actually CT scanners have come down in value. They're much more common to access overnight, and it's cheaper to access overnight because they're already staffed. And actually, hospital beds in the UK are actually more of a premium. So now the guidance has changed to say, okay, well, actually, it's probably better if we scan these people, and it's better for them because then they could just go home and not need to be admitted at all.
And that's for people that have had a fall and a head injury.
Yeah. So as I say, like, it's not just doctors that necessarily come up with these suggestions. They call them recommendations, NICE. Patients feed into it and other groups as well.
Okay, brilliant. Thank you. So we were going to have a chat about some of the cardiology NICE guidelines that have come out. I think one of the really useful ones that we've had a brief chat about was about chest pain and chest pain in the community and where they need to come into in hospital. So I know we have done a previous podcast on chest pain in the acute setting and chest pain in the clinic setting, but this part of the guideline is a bit more about where that patient should come to if they're presenting in the community with chest pain to their GP.
Yeah, so just moving on from what we've just talked about, I guess the caveat is that this is the national NICE recommendations. So if you find where you're practicing, you've got different systems, that might be because of local decisions where you've decided to fund a particular clinic that has a lot of room to see people, so more people get offered that service, or if you're in an area where it's very easy to see a GP, the GPs might do more. If it's difficult to see a GP, then the hospitals might do more. But all things being equal, this is what the NICE recommendations for people presenting to any part of the UK healthcare system saying, I'm having chest pain and I'm worried it might be my heart. And then what should that person do, whether they're in the community, at a reception desk, or in an emergency department, or they're already a patient, you know, on an elective surgical ward, and they tell this to their bedside nurse. So this is what the NICE says about this. So I guess I'd just start by sort of just introducing the guidelines. So it's the NICE guideline, clinical guideline 95, originally published in March 2010, but has been updated and reviewed by the expert panel every couple of years since then. So just starting off then, chest pain. So that's chest pain, not necessarily cardiac chest pain, but it can include potential diagnoses that have very poor prognosis. So chest pain is an important presentation in and of itself. And this guideline is mainly to help us decide how to deal with patients presenting with chest pain. And we're either worried that it's cardiac in origin, or that's our job within the system to decide whether or not it's cardiac origin. And if it's not, we can then move them on to somebody else who can take a different view. The first category of people that this will be is if it's new chest pain. So NICE would use the phrases unstable and new interchangeably. So you might have a patient who's never had chest pain before and now they're experiencing their first ever episode of it, or you might have a patient who has experienced a particular type of chest pain, they've seen an expert about it, they've been told what it is, that has a diagnosis, but now they're experiencing a different type of chest pain or a change in character or frequency of that original presentation. Mm-hmm. So they now need a new diagnosis. This could be either coming to the emergency department or walking into a local family doctor surgery. So the first thing that NICE says is that we need to know when this pain started. And they categorize these people into pain that is either current or has occurred in the last 12 hours. And then the second group is pain that is not current, but occurred within the last 12 hours to 3 days. And then pain that is not current and then was over 3 days ago. So you would manage these people differently. And I guess the thought process behind that is that if your pain was over 3 days ago and you're now walking around fine, then even though the original diagnosis might be a heart attack, it's probably not something as serious to worry about because you've gone over a certain period and not suffered a complication. So that doesn't really help you diagnose the problem, but it does tell you a little bit about how to risk manage these people. Mm-hmm. So going back to pain that's either current or in the last 12 hours. So really, if you're having current chest pain, or if you've got concerns over a complication from a cardiac problem such as pulmonary edema or an abnormal ECG, then really this is a medical emergency. And if they're not already in the emergency department, then they need to be told to go to the emergency department. Or if they're on a ward, then that's something that needs to be dealt with as a medical emergency within the inpatient system. And then you've got this second group who, irrespective of what their pain character was like, if it was over 12 hours ago, but within 3 days, then NICE would say that this needs an urgent evaluation. And they would recommend a same day emergency care referral pathway for this. So they don't necessarily need to go to the emergency department. It depends on where you are locally, on whether there are reasonable alternatives that you can send these patients to. But the category that they would put this into is a same day emergency care. So this wouldn't be, I need an urgent cardiology appointment in 2 weeks' time. This is, it's a problem because it's in the last 3 days and we need to deal with this within the next 24 hours, i.e. today, but we don't necessarily need to send them to the emergency department. And then there's this middle group that NICE says that you may have a discretion, that if the pain is in the last 12 hours, but they're not currently in pain and they don't have an ECG abnormality and they don't have signs of pulmonary edema, then it's really the clinician's discretion on whether they think you might downgrade that person to a same day emergency care route. But that really is a clinician kind of decision, not a GP receptionist decision.
Okay, so once we've almost risk stratified them with the timing or onset of their pain, what influences your decision to do investigations?
Sure. So the first thing NICE says is that if they're having a STEMI, then you should follow the NICE STEMI guidelines. And that isn't covered in this guideline because it just directs you to manage this patient as a STEMI, because that's something that can be immediately obvious. So wherever they then get triaged to, whether it's A&E, same day emergency care, or if they don't meet any of those criteria, e.g. it was over 3 days ago, then actually the GP can see them with a degree of safety, knowing that it was over 3 days ago and they're not having current pain. So wherever they go to, the next step is to perform an ECG, because this then tells you whether or not they're having a STEMI. So that would be the first thing to do. And then the second thing to do would be to perform an initial troponin blood test. And they advise people to do this on everyone presenting with chest pain of a suspected cardiac origin and not to exclude ACS this early in the process based purely on a normal ECG, because ACS can be someone who is having chest pain with a normal ECG. And then the NICE guideline says that you do your second troponin at 3 hours. So this is the first thing to think, maybe this is different in my local hospital, because NICE has a particular definition of what they advise. So the definition they give is a high sensitivity troponin with a positive accuracy level of over 99th percentile cutoff. So you need to be able to distinguish to a certain degree of accuracy the differences between the numbers on the test results you get. So some machines might not be accurate enough to know that, okay, I've got a result of 14, I've got a result of 15. Well, how confident you are that actually those machines are giving you numbers that are definitely 14. Maybe there's a confidence interval around that number. So it needs to be to the 99th percentile cutoff of accuracy in order for you to do that 3 hour troponin. Now, maybe your hospital has got a different type of machine and maybe it's a bit older, or maybe there's other reasons. Maybe they're seeing a lot more of patients that would normally be seen in a GP. So there might be differences at the local level on why you might do that differently, but it's 3 hours for the second troponin.
And so that first troponin, is that just taken as soon as they arrive in the hospital or as soon as we're made aware of their chest pain? You don't have to wait a certain length of time before you take the
first troponin. So that would be on arrival. So wherever they're triaged to, you would do your troponin and your ECG. So then that allows you to then consider whether you've got criteria to diagnose a myocardial infarction. So remember that, and this isn't the ACS guideline, but NICE reminds us that ACS is a syndrome and it contains a collective of potential diagnoses under that umbrella of ACS. So whether you've got unstable angina, STEMI, or an NSTEMI, but the NICE MI criteria is actually you need your troponin to be positive, and then you can have your second criteria can be any of history, so ischemic symptoms, new ischemic changes on ECG. So specifically, it's got to be changes that are related to an ischemic type syndrome. So that's repolarization changes in the ST segment or a new left bundle branch block. So just having new AF is not enough. Or pathological Q waves, because remember, some of these people might be presenting over 3 days since their initial chest pain, or new imaging that shows a new reduction in viable myocardium. So for example, if your patient's on ITU and you did an echo last week and the heart looked okay, and now you've got a new change in viable myocardium, that also allows you to diagnose an MI under the NICE criteria. So you need two things, one of those things, and then your troponin. And again, NICE are quite specific on what counts as the troponin being positive. So it would be that two troponins, 3 hours apart, done on a machine that is accurate enough to distinguish between the numbers with a rise or a fall. Now, they don't actually specify how big the rise or the fall has to be, because they're specifying that the machine has to be certain degree of accuracy so that you know what the numbers mean. So those two, troponin plus one of those other things. And again, that might be different in other countries because of the access to rapid blood test results. So for example, the WHO criteria might be different, that still says that you can diagnose it off an ECG and ischemic symptoms, because that WHO criteria is for countries outside of the UK as well, which may not have access to these techniques. So we'll probably just bring it to an end there. The guideline continues then to say, well, if you've ruled out an MI and you haven't got these pain in that's current or in the last 12 hours and any other reason that they need to go to A&E, potentially you might still be left with someone who you've made sure that they don't have an MI, you've made sure that they don't have a need for either the emergency department or a same day emergency care, but you're still left with someone with chest pain who has a potential cardiac origin. So the second half of the guideline, which we'll discuss next week, is what to do in that scenario.
Brilliant. Thanks so much, Richard, for joining us today. You'll be able to find our question of the week over on our Instagram page at mem.cast, and we'll follow up with those bits next week. Thank you.
See you then.